I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Woo! But now my eye sees. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you.
While the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church, this is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the first half of A Fresh Vision of God from our series, The Difference. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of A Fresh Vision of God.
From the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, in verse 10, and we've been using the scripture that says, if the axe is dull, and he, which is the axeman, does not sharpen his edge, then he must exert more strength. But wisdom to sharpen the axe helps him succeed with less effort. And the title of the series that we've been in is called The Difference. That there is a difference in our lives when we sharpen the axe. The first week, we talked about having time with God. That a lot of people are frustrated, a lot of people are discouraged and defeated because they enter into their day without sharpening their axe, without spending time with God. And so we see that the difference is when you spend time with God, that things happen a little differently. Last week, we looked at the difference being the power of God, which is the Holy Spirit. That if we have the Holy Spirit residing in our lives, that if we're living in the fullness of the Spirit, that we can have power to do the things that we need to do. Power to do the things that God has called us to do. And so that makes the difference. And so today we will be in Psalm 73. Psalm 73. And I'm going to begin by reading verse 16 and 17. And the psalmist says whatever he had just got finished talking about. He said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. And we're going to go back and look at some of the things that he was dealing with. But he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord. My. What made the difference in his life? The difference was made when he went into the sanctuary of God. And he got a fresh vision of God and who God is. Psalm 73. The background to Psalm 73. If you look at the superscription, and the superscription is that little phrase that is at the beginning of the psalm. And it says, getting a little static up here. Do I need to make an adjustment? It says, A psalm of Asaph. And so Asaph was a contemporary of David, and many believe that he was David's chief musician. Asaph and his sons, they were set apart for service unto the Lord, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 25. So this psalm was either written by Asaph or it was written by David and played by Asaph. But this psalm deals with the struggle that the author was having. And we see that when the author got a fresh vision of God, it made a difference. That when the author was able to get to the sanctuary, that he was able to see things that he did not see before. And I would like to challenge your thinking today, whatever it is that you might be dealing with. Maybe you need a fresh vision of God. And we're going to talk about this morning. Let me share with you two people who got a fresh vision of God. Isaiah, he was going about his life. He was doing ministry. He was serving God. And in the midst of his service, God stopped Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord. I got a fresh vision of God. I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And if we went on to read this passage, we see that God challenged Isaiah. And then Isaiah finished this passage by saying, when the Lord said, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? That Isaiah raised his hand, and he said, here am I, Lord, send me. That his life was transformed when he had a fresh vision of God. Do you need a transformation this morning? Oh, I'm not going to make this sermon mystical to say that you need to get into some deep inner revelations of God. I'm going to make this sermon very simple when I talk about getting a fresh vision of God. And Isaiah got a vision of God, and it transformed his life. Another person who got a fresh vision of God was the patriarch Job. And we see that Job lost his family, Job lost his possessions, and Job lost his health. And Job went on a quest searching for God to find out why he was going what he was going through. And his friends came, and they tried to bring him comfort and solace, but it didn't work. And so finally, after Job's crying out, where is God that I might come before him? God finally shows up. Now think of all that Job had been through. Think of all the struggles that Job was dealing with. And in chapter 42 and verse 5, God shows up, and he confronts Job. And Job is left with these words: I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Woo! But now my eye sees. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Job got a fresh vision of God. And it said, if you'll go to the next slide, the supreme need in every hour of difficulty and distress is a fresh vision of God. Seeing him, all else takes on proper perspective and proportion. Man, that's deep. That's a deep statement. The supreme need in every hour of difficulty, says G. Campbell Morgan, and distress, is for a fresh vision of God. Seeing him, that when you see God, and again, I'm not going to make this mystical, I'm going to make it very real, that when you see him, all else takes its proper perspective and proportion. Let's look at the struggle of the author, the struggle of Asaph, or the author of this song. The psalmist struggled when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. Let's read verses 2 through 12. He said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. He said, my steps had almost slipped. He said, I had one foot on an oil slick and the other foot on a banana peel. He said, I was standing in slippery places. He said, I was almost gone. I went down once, I went down twice, and I was going down for the third time. He said, for I was, in verse 3, envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, but their strength is firm. He said that they don't even die like the righteous. He said the righteous might die with pain, but he said in their death there is no pain. They die with their strength. He said they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. See, this is what happens when you take your eyes off the Lord and you get them focused on the wrong thing. He said, therefore, pride compasses them like a chain. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. That means they experience prosperity. They have more than their heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. In other words, they take the Lord's name in vain. And their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters are full, a full cup are wrung out unto them. And they say, now they get boastful, right? I mean, the wicked, they stick their chests out. How does God know? How does he know? And is there really knowledge in the Most High? Is God really as smart as he makes himself out to be? Behold, these are ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches. So do you get the tension here? Do you see the struggle that the psalmist is having? He's taking his eyes off of God. He's looking at the prosperity of the wicked, and he's struggling with this. And then, see, when you get your focus wrong, then you start thinking crazy, right? That's the next thing. You start thinking crazy. And so in verse 13, look at his thoughts. He's starting to think without any common sense. He said, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. He said, all this righteous living that I've been doing, you know, I've been coming to the house of the Lord. I've been giving my money faithfully. I've been reading my Bible. I've been having devotions. I've been serving God. And look what I got for it. You know, I could be living a wicked life. I could be living a life of hedonism, where I just enjoy the pleasures of this world. I could be living a life of sensuality, where I just give in to my every desire. Look, that's what the wicked are doing, and they are prospering. He said, I have cleansed my heart in vain. In other words, to put it in New Testament terms, I have accepted Christ for nothing. What good has it done me to accept Christ when the wicked are just as well off as I am? I have cleansed my hands in vain. I cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. It was worthless. I just wasted my time. And then the psalmist struggled with the painful thought that in speaking his mind, he might cause others to stumble. If he really let people know what was on his heart, that I might cause other people to stumble. Look what he says in verse 14. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say it and I speak thus, I should offend a whole generation of children. If I really said publicly what I think, look at all these people who believe in God, even the young ones coming up who believe in God. If I really speak what's on my heart, I'm going to offend them. If I say what I really think, if I say what I really believe, man, they're going to get turned off to the things of the Lord. And he says, when I thought about this, when I thought about if I speak and turn off a whole generation, he said it was too painful for me to know. What are you struggling with today? The psalmist struggled when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. And maybe there's something that's eating away at your faith, that you feel like God is really not with you in this. You feel like God has kind of distanced himself from you. And if you speak out loud what you're really feeling in your heart, that others might be offended. What are you struggling with today? Maybe you need a fresh vision of God. If you go to that next slide. Anxiety. Is this your struggle today? Are you filled with worry about something? Your struggle might not be the prosperity of the wicked. Maybe you can take these verses 2 through 12, you can take them out, and you can put in your problems. You can put in your struggles. Maybe you can put in there for 10, 11 verses, and you're talking about anxiety. It seems like my anxiety has overwhelmed me. I wake up in the morning, worried. I go to bed at night, worried. During the day, I'm thinking about how things are going to work out. What's your struggle? Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's something that you fear. How about anger? Something has caused you to be angry, and you are struggling with that. And you might be like the psalmist, one foot on an oil slick and the other foot on a banana peel. Right? You're getting ready to slip. You're getting ready to stop having devotions. You're getting ready to stop coming to church. How do I know that? Because people tell me this, that they get upset with God. They get frustrated. And they stop spending time with God. They stop being in the house of the Lord. Anger, faithlessness. Maybe you don't have faith that there's overwhelming circumstances that's calling for faith, and you just don't have it. You're struggling in that area. Stress. Maybe you're stressed out about something. I heard a sermon by a pastor one time. It said, all stressed up and nowhere to go. All stressed up and nowhere to go. Maybe it's stress. Maybe there's some sin that's befallen you, that's causing you to struggle. Financially, maybe you are in a financial rut. You're struggling to pay your bills. You're struggling to meet your obligations. Maybe it's a health issue. A lot of times it's health that will cause us to take our eyes off of God. Sometimes we can get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And we get weary. And that's why Paul tells us to pray for those who are weary. Pray for those who are sick. James says, pray for those who are sick. And the word that he uses for sick is those who have become weary because of their sickness. Why? Because a lot of people that go through get frustrated. And they want to throw their hands in the air. Where is God at? And so we see that you could take out these verses and you could put in your struggle, the thing that you're struggling with. Oh, but the psalmist let us know that until I went into the sanctuary of God, he said, then I saw God. I got a fresh vision of God. And when he's talking about coming into the sanctuary, he's not talking about necessarily coming into the building. He's talking about coming into that quiet place where you meet with God. That quiet place where you get alone with God. I got up early one morning and rushed into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Problems tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wonder? He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into his presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided. My child, you didn't knock. Hey, 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 I got up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish, I had to take time to pray. We're talking about the difference. We're talking about the difference that can make by you coming into the presence of the Lord. And maybe you need to get a fresh vision of God. And as you get a fresh vision of God, it may require you to begin to reflect on the names of God. So here's why I said I'm going to make it practical, right? A fresh vision of God. Maybe you need to see him as El Shaddai, the Almighty God, right? That what you're going through, you find yourself weak, you find yourself powerless, and you need a God who is almighty to guide you through. You may need El Elyon. I love that name for God. On the Wednesday Bible study, when I come on, I greet the saints. Saints of El Elyon, God the Most High God. Maybe you need to know him as Yahweh Roy. And that means the Lord is my shepherd. You need guidance. You're trying to figure something out. You're trying to work your way through a situation. And you need a fresh vision of God. You need to go back and read the 23rd Psalm where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He guides me beside the still waters. He guides me. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I might need to get down and see him as Yahweh Roy, the Lord who is my shepherd. Lord, you are my shepherd. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Guide me by thy powerful hand. You might need guidance. You may need wisdom to make decisions. You need to get a fresh vision of Yahweh Roy. You might need to get a fresh vision of Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. Are you dealing with sickness at this time? You know, I know toward the end of last year, I had sciatic pain that I couldn't sleep. Man, you know, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to know that while everybody else is laying their head down going to sleep, that you're not going to sleep. That you're going to be up. Because every time you lay down, your back, your leg starts hurting. An excruciating pain that keeps you up.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of A Fresh Vision of God. If you'd like to request an audio copy of A Fresh Vision of God, you anchor and request A Fresh Vision of God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Fresh Vision of God, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, The Difference, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that this is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.